The further proceedings on the roll call be dispensed with, and the Sergeant at Arms be instructed to bring in the absent members.
On that motion, all those in favor say aye. All opposed say nay. The motion prevails. The Sergeant of Arms will bring in the absent members. Today's chaplain is the Father Bob White from St. Victoria Catholic Church in Victoria, Minnesota. After the prayer, please remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance. The secretary will take the roll.
Anderson, Bach, Benson, Bonoff, Brown, Carlson, Chamberlain, Champion, Clausen, Cohen, Dahl, Dames, Dibble, Dietzick, Eaton, Eakin, Fishbach, Franzen, Gazelka, Goodwin, Hall, Han, Herr, Hayden, Hoffman, Housley, Ingebrigtsen, Jensen, Johnson, Kent, Kiffmeyer, Kunin, Latz, Limmer, Laurie, Marty, Metzen, Miller, Nelson, Newman, Nino, Ortman, Osmick, Pappas, Peterson J, Peterson B, Pratt, Reinert, Rest, Rosen, Rude, Saxhawk, Scalzi, Schmidt, Senjum, Sharon, Sieben, Skoy, Sparks, Stumpf, Thompson, Tomasoni, Torres Ray, Weber, Westrom, Wieger, and Wickland.
A quorum is present. We move to the third order of business, messages from the House. The Secretary will read the message.
Madam President, I have the honor to announce the passage by the House of the following Senate files, herewith returned. Senate file number 76, a bill for an act relating to transportation, highways, designating a segment of marked trunk highway 23 as Officer Tom Decker Memorial Highway. And Senate file number 166, a bill for an act relating to emergency medical services, modifying certain provisions to include advanced emergency medical technicians. Signed, Alban A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives.
The Secretary will read the additional message.
Madam President, I have the honor to announce the passage by the House of the following House files, herewith transmitted. House files number 131, 143, 853, 232, 748, 834, and 1243. Signed, Alban A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives.
Fourth order of business, first reading of House bills. The House bills will be referred as indicated and given their first reading. Fifth order of business, reports of committees. And there will be one committee report that will be read by the Secretary.
Senator Cohen from the Committee on Finance, to which was referred Senate file number 1236, a bill for an act relating to higher education, reports the same back with the recommendation that the bill be amended as follows. Delete everything after the enacting clause and insert. And when so amended, the bill do pass.
Senator Bach.
Madam President, I move the committee reports printed in the agenda be adopted and the committee report read by the Secretary.
All those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. The sixth order of business, second reading of Senate bills. The bills reported on the agenda and Senate File 1236 will be given their second reading. The seventh order of business, second reading of House bills. The bills printed on the agenda will be given their second reading. The eighth order of business, introduction and first reading of Senate bills. They will be referred as indicated, with the exception of Senate File 1602, which will be referred to the Committee on Finance. And they will be given their first reading. The ninth order of business, motions and resolutions. These are author motions and will be adopted as one motion. All those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Senate Resolution Number 61 and Senate Resolution Number 62 will be referred to the Committee on Rules and Administration. Senator Bach.
Madam President, I move we take Senate Resolution Number 55 off the table, and I yield to Senator Senjum.
All those in favor of that motion say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Senator Senjum.
Madam President, members, it's a great honor today to have with us in the balcony Coach Brad Frost and the Golden Gophers national champion women's hockey team. And we have put together, Madam President and members, a resolution to which I would now like to read. It's a Senate resolution honoring the University of Minnesota hockey team for an historic championship season. Whereas on Sunday, March 24, 2013, the University of Minnesota Golden Gophers defeated Boston University 6-3 in Ritter Arena to capture the 2013 NCAA Women's Hockey Championship for the second consecutive season, and where the Gophers earned a grueling triple overtime win against North Dakota in the quarterfinals and defeated Boston College in another overtime contest in the semifinals on their way to the fourth championship season in the team's history. And whereas the win in the finals capped a perfect 41-0 season and marked their 49th victory in a row, whereas the Gophers are the first NCAA team in 43 years to conclude a season undefeated and the first in the 13-year history of the NCAA women's hockey, and now therefore be it resolved by the Senate of the State of Minnesota that it now congratulates the University of Minnesota's women's hockey team upon winning the 2013 NCAA Women's Hockey Championship and recognizes the team's historic achievement in the 2012-2013 season. Be it further resolved that the Secretary of the Senate be directed to prepare an enrolled copy of this resolution to be authenticated by the Secretary's signature and the chairs of the Rules and Committee Administration Committee and transmit it to the University of Minnesota Gophers, which we have done. Signed, Joanne M. Goff, Secretary of the Senate, State of Minnesota, Tom M. Bach, Chair of the Committee of Rules and Administration, and myself as a Senate member. Congratulations, Women's Hockey Team National Championship.
Members, just hold on a second before you applause. We'll give you a chance to do that, but is there any more discussion? Then all those in favor of the resolution, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, nay. The motion prevails. The resolution is adopted. Senator Bach.
Madam President, I would like to move a brief recess for the purpose of recognizing the team.
The Senate is in recess. All those in favor of that motion, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. The Senate is in recess. Do you want to announce what we're doing during the recess?
Madam President, the Majority Caucus is going to caucus in room 123 for approximately about 30 minutes. Mr. President, I move that further proceedings on the roll call be dispensed with and the Sergeant-at-Arms be instructed to bring in the absent members.
On that motion, all in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Senator Bach.
Mr. President, pursuant to Rule 26, I designate that the following bills be made special orders for immediate consideration. And members, the list is on your desk.
Okay, the first bill under consideration this afternoon will be Number 176 on general orders, Senate file 489, Senator Pappas.
Thank you, Mr. President and members. This is what we call in the Pension Commission Omnibus Bill 1, and it's where we put all of our technical, non-controversial provisions. This passed unanimously out of the Pension Commission, and all this is meant to do is to provide some cleanup. I'm just going to explain it briefly before I have a technical amendment to offer. Article 1 is where the State Board of Investment would be allowed to invest in swap contracts through a recognized market that's requested by the State Board of Investment. Article 2 is with respect to retirement plans administered by the Minnesota State Retirement Association. This is where contribution rate revision provisions are revised, has expanded authority, is granted to retain medical advisors, annual earnings reporting are required to be provided by disabilitants, and obsolete or outdated plan requirements are clarified or revised. The Constitutional Officer's Retirement Plan is merged with the Legislator's Retirement Plan for reporting purposes. Article 3 is for the Public Employee Retirement Association administered retirement plans. It includes a membership exclusion for students, which is modified. Trusts are permitted to be designated beneficiaries for death refunds. Some MRF benefit provisions are clarified to meet Federal Internal Revenue Code requirements. There's approval of privatization benefit coverage for privatized hospitals, which is delegated to the PARA board. And the Social Security leveling optional annuity form is repealed. Article 4 is to address the statutory headnote identification concern of the Revisor of Statutes Office. The formula percentage rates for each plan are specified in each plan's law rather than aggregated in a single section in Minnesota Statutes Chapter 356. Article 5 includes various laws related to local police or paid fire relief associations, which are made obsolete by the consolidations over the period of 1987 to 2012, and these are repealed, and cross-references to those relief associations and their laws are revised or updated. Article 6, municipalities with fire departments seeking to join the statewide volunteer fire plan are given a longer period of time to approve the request. White Bear Lake is authorized to pay a funeral benefit to some older current retirees, as was formerly permitted, requires municipal approval of any change in the interest rate payable on deferred service pensions, and implements the other recommendations of the State Auditor's Volunteer Fire Working Group. Article 7, a state employee, a former Northfield employee, and a current Wright County employee are authorized to purchase prior service credit for previous uncredited service. MAPE employees who are not state employees on a leave of absence are permitted to be MSRS general members, and some non-spousal optional annuity form designations can be terminated by the retiree and the designated survivor. Article 8, the State Auditor's Office is required to provide periodic information on the investment opportunities with the State Board of Investment and about benefit coverage opportunities with the Statewide Volunteer Fire Retirement Plan. The various statewide and major local retirement plan governing boards are required to formulate implementation schedules for optional annuity and actuarial equivalent early retirement reduction factors and notify the Pension Commission of those schedules. Well, that's my very, very brief explanation, and I'll stand for questions.
Any questions of the author on Senate File 489? Senator, did you have an amendment you wanted to?
Mr. President, I have the A2 amendment.
Secretary will report the Pappas A2 amendment.
Senator Pappas moves to amend Senate File number 489 as follows. Page 2, delete section 1 and insert. This is the A2 amendment.
Senator Pappas on the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. President. This amendment was requested by the State Board of Investment to clarify Section 1, which is the section I mentioned that would allow them to invest in limited swap contracts through a recognized market.
Further discussion on the amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Further discussion on Senate File 489. Further discussion, if not, the Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
Senate File Number 489, a bill for an act relating to retirement, Minnesota State Retirement System, Public Employees Retirement Association, and former local police and paid firefighter relief associations.
Secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted. Secretary will close the roll. There being 48 ayes and 12 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. Ready?
The next bill on special orders is number 117 on general orders, Senate File 1168, Senator Kent.
Thank you, Madam President and members. I am rising today to introduce Senate File 1168, in part because of an incident that occurred in Oakdale, which is part of my district in the East Metro, but also because, more broadly, law enforcement and prosecutors need this tool for public safety. Senate File 1168 would create the option for a prosecutor to charge an individual with a felony if the individual intentionally reports a fictitious emergency with the intent of getting an emergency response, and if an emergency responder or someone else is seriously injured or killed as a result of the emergency response. Furthermore, the bill would also make it a felony to use multiple communications devices to interfere with, overload, or otherwise prevent the emergency call center system from functioning properly, thereby callers from getting through when trying to seek emergency help for themselves or others in need. Members may have heard of some high-profile cases involving celebrities. In these cases, offenders make a false 911 report of a serious crime in progress, such as an armed assault, with the goal of getting a SWAT team to make a forced entry into a celebrity's house. As a result, this has become known as swatting. And as you can imagine, this could lead to citizens and law enforcement officers being placed in grave danger. This activity is not limited to Hollywood. Last September, a false call was made to the Washington County 911 Center reporting a burglary in progress by armed intruders at an Oakdale home. Fortunately, Oakdale police officers were able to reach the homeowner by phone and resolve the situation without anyone getting hurt. Investigating these attacks can be very time-consuming and complex. The Metropolitan Emergency Services Board, which represents nine counties, supports this bill and believes it would give law enforcement and prosecutors important tools. In addition, this bill is supported by the Minnesota Sheriff's Association, the Minnesota Chiefs of Police, and the Minnesota Ambulance Association. As a final point, I would say that this bill will make the 911 system protections consistent with those already in place for ARMR, Minnesota's Shared Public Safety Radio Communication System. In 2003, Minnesota Statute 609.776 was enacted, providing similar protections, and Senate File 1168 has been drafted to be consistent with this president. Thank you for your support, and I stand for questions.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Madam President, and members. I stand in support of this bill, not only because I'm a co-supporter of this, co-author of this, but through my years of experience of responding to what I know are bogus 911 calls, and I know that continues throughout our system. This puts a little teeth into it. Now, the idea of, as Senator Kent so well explained, the idea of emergency responders responding to a phantom call, we used to call them, actually, where conveniently these calls would be called to the far end of the jurisdiction, whether it be a city or a county. In my case, a county would put responders at risk responding to something like this. Not only is nothing there when they get there, but they also risk themselves and potentially their lives responding to something when, in fact, something's going on the other end of the county, and they want everything to, all the resources to be over there. So this is a good bill, members. I support it, and I would ask your support as well.
Is there any other discussion? Seeing none, the secretary will give the bill its third reading.
Senate File Number 1168, a bill for an act relating to public safety, creating new crimes relating to 9/11 emergency calls.
The secretary will take the roll on Senate File 480, Senate File 1168. Have all members voted? All members having voted, the secretary will close the roll. There being 62 in favor, 0 opposed, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. The next bill on general orders, the members, please pay attention and vote so we're not holding the roll open waiting for people who are sitting at their desk to vote. The next bill is number 177 in general orders. It's Senate File 840, Senator Champion.
Thank you, Madam President and members. Senate File 840, this bill essentially would allow caregivers to use the sick leave already provided by their employers to care for family members who need it. This issue affects an increasingly number of Minnesotans as our population ages. You also notice on your desk that there's been a letter circulated from the Alzheimer's Association, the Board of Aging, as well as Wilder. This particular issue differs from FMLA, which addresses longer-term absences. This bill before you would allow a caregiver to respond to a short-term immediate need, such as a doctor's appointment or an immediate crisis that arises from a chronic condition, such as Alzheimer's, heart disease, diabetes, etc. Caregivers in Minnesota need the ability to balance the demand of caring for family members with their responsibilities at work. Allowing workers to use their sick time for caregiving is a small but needed support. People who need care need their family members. When a loved one is involved in care for a chronic condition, outcomes improve, care is less costly, and people are able to remain in their homes longer. The state of Minnesota members will benefit from this bill as it will enable caregivers to remain in the workforce longer, allowing them to retain health benefits and income and continue to be contributors to our economic and tax base. This bill is not a burden to employers. It is a benefit. The caregiver sick leave bill will guarantee that employees are able to use sick leave time already offered by their employers, but would not require employers to offer any additional benefits. Employees' retention will improve as caregivers will not have to choose between their jobs, their duty to their family members, and will not have to be replaced. With that, Madam President, I stand for questions.
Are there any questions? Senator Thompson.
Madam President, thank you. Would Senator Champion yield?
Will Senator Champion yield? He will yield. Senator Thompson.
Madam President, and Senator Champion, as I understand it, if in fact this bill were to pass, then any company that has a program in place for this type of leave would be required to expand that coverage to the people that are laid out in this bill. Is that correct or am I wrong?
Senator Champion.
Thank you, Madam President. Thank you, Senator Thompson. What this bill would do is would not require them to expand their benefits. It is a benefit that's already there. It would expand the definition so that if their current benefit allows them to go to a doctor appointment for a child or a spouse, this would expand and allow them to go to a doctor appointment for like an elderly member or someone with Alzheimer's or something of that particular nature. But it does not expand any benefit, and it does not require an employer to offer this benefit.
Madam President,
Senator Thompson.
Would Senator Champion yield again?
Senator Champion, will you yield? Senator Champion, will you yield? Senator Thompson.
Thank you, Madam President, Senator Champion. So then I get it. There's not a requirement of a new set of benefits, but if those benefits exist, then this expanded category of people would be required. Do you have any concern that some people might just choose or some companies might choose not to discontinue offering this benefit?
Senator Champion.
Madam President, Senator, I do not have that particular concern. In fact, I've gotten a lot of support from businesses as well as different organizations because it would help to make sure that great employees are retained with companies, and it would also make sure that we are caring for those who really need care and allow folks to understand that their family is very important. And so I haven't gotten any pushback from any companies, no one that would say that this would not be a great idea.
Senator Thompson.
Thank you, Madam President. Senator Champion would yield for a final question.
Senator Champion will yield. Senator Thompson.
Madam President, Senator Champion, if I understand it, though, under current law, any employer may choose to do what is contemplated in this bill. It's just that now it isn't mandatory. So if they wanted to do it in order to have a competitive advantage against other employers, they would be allowed to do that, correct?
Senator Champion.
Madam President, I didn't hear the last part of what you stated, Senator. Would you be so kind as to articulate that question again?
Senator Thompson.
Thank you, Madam President. Yes, Senator Champion, happy to. My understanding is you'd indicated that this may actually help employers to gain a competitive advantage, but if they were to choose voluntarily now to offer a benefit package in this way, they could do that now without this law, correct?
Senator Champion.
Madam President, absolutely, Senator.
Senator Osmak.
Thank you, Madam President. Will the author yield, please?
Senator Champion will yield. Senator Osmak.
Thank you, Madam President. A question to the author. Is there any validation requirements for the employee who's going through this to actually provide proof of the illness? Is there any documentation from a doctor required, or is there anything that they have to do in order to prove that there's actually this taking place?
Senator Champion.
Madam President, thank you, Senator, for that question. There's nothing that specifies that they have to go through a validation process. We leave that up to businesses to do that. If they're already offering this benefit, they know the steps that employees must go through in order to utilize that benefit now. So I didn't want to intrusive by, you know, saying exactly what steps that they must go through. But I'm sure that all of the great companies that we have here in the great state of Minnesota, if they offer this benefit, they have a process already in place.
Senator Nelson.
Thank you, Madam President. Members, this is very similar to another bill that was offered earlier this year called the Alzheimer's Caregivers Bill, only this bill has been expanded to other type of caregivers as well. And it is correct, it doesn't expand any sick leave days or time, but it actually does allow sick leave to be granted to those caregivers. I want to speak to you briefly about Alzheimer's in regards to Alzheimer's caregivers. Alzheimer's is the disease of our generation. It is growing exponentially. The devastation to families, the devastation to our state and national budgets will continue. It is a fact that the longer we can keep an Alzheimer's patient in their home with caregiver support as needed can delay the placement in a long-term care facility by 18 months. It would take too much of a sharpening of a pencil to see how that could affect our state budgets. With that, I am speaking in favor of this bill. The fact of the matter is that when a employee has concerns about their family member needing medical care, many employers, as Senator Thompson said, automatically offer this, which is probably why I do not believe anyone testified against this bill. The reality is, many employees, if they were not offered that sick leave, they might call in sick themselves. And to Senator Osmick's question, I don't believe there are many employers at all that verify sick leave on a approval basis where you have to turn in your doctor's receipt. It kind of reminds me of when I was teaching in middle school. We had excuses that students had to bring to school, but I don't believe Minnesota's employers do that regarding sick leave. With that, I have one question for Senator Champion.
Will Senator Champion yield? He will yield. Senator Nelson.
Thank you, Madam President. Senator Champion, was there any dissent or was there any testimony in opposition to this bill?
Senator Champion.
Madam President, Senator, there was no opposition to this bill.
Is there any other discussion? Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Madam President. Would the Senator yield for one question?
Senator Champion, will you yield? Senator Champion will yield. Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Madam President. Thank you, Senator. Maybe just a comment before this, and having to manage union employees with regards to this, I think the there were some questions about sick leave and when you have to have a doctor's appointment or when you have to have a doctor's note, if you will. I believe a lot of contracts define this so that you have to have. For at least sick leave, you have to anything over a three-day period. But my question is, and I think it probably might have been answered when Senator Thompson talked about it, but this bill will not inhibit employers in the state of Minnesota to manage that, to manage this in the way they want. In other words, if they were to ask if this step parent was in fact sick, there would be at least a management's opportunity to be able to have the employee prove that, because I know there is and has been some abuse when it comes to abusing sick leave, especially when in some cases where it maxes out, and if you don't take the sick day, if you don't use it, you lose it. And I would just like to make sure that employers have the opportunity to manage that properly. This doesn't inhibit that at all.
Senator Champion.
Thank you, Madam President. And Senator, this does not inhibit nor is it intrusive in any way. Companies are able to manage their benefits.
Senator Gazalka.
Thank you, Madam President. Will Senator Campion yield?
Senator Campion will yield. Senator Gazalka.
Senator Campion, I do have a question because you mentioned that businesses support this. My concern is a picture of business that gives sick leave, and they cap the number of days, say 30 days, and if you go over that, you no longer get any sick day benefits. Well, now this, if you provide all these different things automatically, is that not considered an expansion of benefits?
Senator Campion.
Madam President, Senator, no, it doesn't expand it at all. There's nothing in this bill, first of all, that requires an employer to offer this benefit. They don't have to do that. Number two, the employer is able to determine what the accrued time will be. That's up to the employer. And number three, they also have the benefit of articulating what those days will be. And so this bill does not expand that in any shape, form, or fashion.
Senator Gazalka.
Thank you, Madam. Just to follow up, Madam President, follow-up comment. My concern is simply forcing them to do that. Many employers do provide these benefits. To me, it is an expansion. They may decide that they're just going to limit the number of sick days. That's my concern over this bill.
Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Madam President. In the spirit of the recent comments by Senator Campion about not requiring the employer to offer any additional benefits that they already do, I'd like to offer the A50 amendment.
The Secretary will report the amendment.
Senator Peterson B. moves to amend Senate file number 840 as follows, page 1, line 8. And this is the A50 amendment.
Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Madam President. The A50 amendment would simply, on page 1, line 8, after employee, insert if authorized by the employer. And this, again, goes to the spirit of the comments made by the senator, by the author of Senate file 840, and simply make sure that this bill is indeed permissive and does not require employers to add an additional benefit that they do not intend to. And that's it. Thank you, Madam President.
Senator Campion.
Thank you, Madam President. I would see this as a friendly amendment.
Is there any more discussion on the A50 amendment? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. The amendment is adopted. Are there any other amendments or other discussion? Senator Rudin.
Madam President and members, I rise in support of this bill. Many of you know that I've taken care of my elderly parents for the last 6 years, and I think it really speaks to what happens when people are the primary caregivers, and you have to take off of work, and you need to leave, and you have to make that doctor's appointment and the emergency doctor's appointments that happen. And I think this really helps employers and employees have a really good, honest relationship instead of calling in sick when they're really the caregiver taking that person to the doctor. Sorry. And so I would rise to really support this amendment and let employers and employees have that honest relationship. It's so very important we have this aging population and we become the caregivers, or maybe we become the person that is being taken care of as our children have to take care of us. Let's give that good, honest employee and employee relationship. Thank you.
Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Madam President. In light of the author accepting the friendly amendment, I'd urge members to vote green on the bill. Now the bill, at the very least, recognizes the ability for employers, employees to come to terms in a way that best benefits them.
Is there any further discussion? Seeing none, the Secretary will give Senate File 840 its third reading.
Senate File Number 840, a bill for an act relating to employment, modifying use of personal sick leave benefits.
The Secretary will take the roll. All members having voted, the secretary will close the roll. There being 62 in favor, 0 opposed, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. The next bill on special orders is number 26 on general orders, Senate File 663, Senator Johnson.
Madam President and members, this is Senate File 663 is a Department of Administration initiative that updates the statutes regarding the current recycling procedures that they are responsible for within the Capitol complex. This bill passed unanimously out of the State and Local Government Policy Committee. It really is just clarifies what they are doing presently. The one thing that I will call to your attention particularly is that this will still be held responsible for the 22 buildings within the Capitol complex for the recycling and the progress that is made toward their recycling goals. Additionally, the bill eliminates the requirements for a recycling structure that was provided for earlier in the statutes, but since the center was closed in 2010, it is definitely duplicative. So thank you for your support. I appreciate it.
Is there any discussion? Seeing no discussion or amendments, the secretary will give the bill its third reading.
Senate File Number 663, a bill for an act relating to state government making changes to resource recovery provisions.
The secretary will take the roll on Senate File 663. All members having voted who desire to vote, the secretary will close the roll. There being 62 in favor, 0 opposed, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. The next bill on special orders is number 53 on general orders, Senate File 843, Senator Scalzi.
Thank you, Madam President. Senate File 843 is a bipartisan bill relating to local governments publishing and soliciting bids from contractors for local improvements. It does not change any public notice requirements, and the Minnesota Newspapers Association has no concern with this legislation. Basically, what happened here in 2012, several cities raised the point to the League of Minnesota Cities that online websites do not meet the definition of a trade journal, and since that was the case, they would have to publish in a newspaper in the city of the first class in addition to publishing online, increasing costs to local government. So today, these trade journals are web-based. They work with the city, and projects are available for viewing for free on the city websites. Contractors can download plans and specs if they want to bid on them. And as I said before, the Minnesota Newspaper Association has no concerns with this bill, and it also does not change public notice requirements. And Madam Chair, I do have... Oh, I'll wait for a second.
Senator Hall.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members, I would also agree with this bill. I think it's good. It's good forward progress for us to look at where we get the best bang for the buck. Where people are most interested is where they're going to be publicized. And, of course, our websites should be more and more utilized for public notices like this. So I would vote in favor of this.
Is there any more discussion? Senator Scalzi.
Thank you, Madam President. I do have an A2 amendment, which is a technical amendment.
The Secretary will report the amendment.
Senator Scalzi moves to amend Senate file number 843 as follows, page 2, line 27. This is the A2 amendment.
Senator Scalzi.
Thank you, Madam President. This is a technical amendment. It was a drafting error. It doesn't change the scope of the bill. It just is a cleanup amendment.
Are there any questions on the amendment? All those in favor of the A2 amendment, say aye. Those opposed, nay. The motion prevails. The amendment is adopted. Is there any more discussion on the bill? The Secretary will give Senate File 843 its third reading.
Senate File Number 843, a bill for an act relating to local government, authorizing publication of amendments for competitive bids in a recognized industry trade journal.
The Secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted, the Secretary will close the roll. There being 33 votes in favor, 0 opposed, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. We move now, members, to announcements of Senate interest. Members, can I have your attention, please? I would like to call to your attention Senate Rule Number 36.6. When a member is speaking, no one may stand between the member speaking and the president. There's a lot of wandering around during debate, and please follow that rule and not stand between the member speaking and the president. Thank you. Are there any other announcements? Senator Tomasoni.
Thank you, Madam President. The Environment, Economic Development, and Ag Committee will meet at 1 o'clock in room 107.
With that, Senator Weber.
Thank you, Madam President. I would simply like to take this time to thank my fellow senators who have expressed concern and interest in the people of Southwest Minnesota with the devastating ice storm that occurred there last week. I also wish to thank the governor and our federal delegation for touring the area on Saturday. As many of you know, we had a serious ice storm that developed that covered all of the width of Senate District 22 and a good portion of Senate District 23's area. And if you have an opportunity to see the TV coverage, you'll notice that our streets and our groves look like a tornado came through. It fortunately left the buildings. Some of our rural cooperative electric cooperatives have thousands of electric poles down, and one of my constituents in rural Nobles County told me that they'd been notified on Saturday it would be 10 days before they had electricity back to them. So again, thank you for your concern and expressions. So far, fortunately, there's been no serious injury or loss of life, and we pray that that will continue. But again, Madam Chairman, thank you to you and the members of the Senate.
Thank you, Senator Weber, and our thoughts and prayers are with you and your community. Senator Miller.
Thank you, Madam President. Just a friendly reminder to members that we have a Purple Caucus meeting Wednesday morning, 7:30 a.m., and check your mailboxes for more details.
Senator Laurie.
Thank you, Madam President. The Health and Human Services Finance Division will meet at 1:30 sharp.
Senator Sieben.
Thank you, Madam President. Members, I was too tired to say anything last week, but I'd just like to thank you all for the congratulations and expressions of congratulations on the birth of my daughter, Greta. She was born 2 weeks ago yesterday, and she'll be in my office tomorrow for our long day on the floor, and I welcome you to stop in and say hello to her, and my husband will be there helping to take care of her. So thank you.
Welcome back, Senator Sieben. Without objection, the following senators will be excused from today's session. Senator Dibble and Reinert all day. Senator Hoffman from 11 to 12:35 p.m. Senator Brown from 12:10 until the end of session. Senator Sharon from 11 to 12:20 p.m. Senator Hayden from 11 to 12:20 p.m. Senator Carlson all day. Senator Jensen from 12:40 to 12:50 p.m. Are there any other announcements? Senator Bach.
Madam President, I move the Senate do now adjourn until Tuesday, April 16th, 11 a.m.
On that motion, all those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. The Senate stands adjourned.